Sairam. Yes. God morning. Oh, I loved Paul with that word intensity. It's such a, is it onomatopoeia? Have you ever heard of onomatopoeia? The word speaks for itself. Intensity, intention. And that is really a perfect way for me to start today. And is in the message that he was bringing for me this morning. And one of them is that when my intention is to be an instrument for the Lord, then there is a natural rising from within so that whatever it is that I am participating and partaking in, it will have this intense energy behind it. So I want to say good morning. Thank you for such a beautiful last couple of days. And last night was just, we were flying with the angels. And I was so grateful to have the wonderful, pleasure isn't the right word, joy. A 17th century mystic, Teilhard de Chardin, said, joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. And last night was such an infallible sign of the presence of our beloved one. So I want to open us up this morning with a prayer. This prayer, let's take a deep breath and let's close our eyes. And again, another breath. We are here truly in the presence of this great love, our beloved Swami. May this day that we live be lived for you. May we know your heart and your will. May our every thought, our every word, and the motive behind our action be simply you. May thy will be done in us this day. And so it is.
Here I am, Lord, use me, guide me, fill me, take me, lead me by your will. Here I am, Lord, ready to follow, serve you, to love you, to be you in this world. Thy will be done through me this day. Thy
join me.
Thy will is done through me this day. Thy will is done through me this day. Lord, you call, I answer. I'm open. I listen, I hear you, I feel you move in me. Lord, I come closer, humbled, surrendered, I'm lifted, committed to your way. Thy will is done through me this day. Thy will is done through me this day. Thy
Swami says, to realize the divine, love is the easiest path. Love is the easiest path. Just as you can see the moon only with the light of the moon, God, who is the embodiment of love, can be reached only through love. Regard love as your life breath. Love was the first quality to emerge in the creative process. All other qualities came after it. Therefore, fill your heart with love and base your entire life upon it. A number of years ago, Joy Thomas, who I told you was my Baba Mama, my first Baba Mama, she had been a very close devotee, meaning in proximity and in heart. And at one point, she asked Swami if she could come live in Prashanti. And he concurred, yes, come. So she and her husband sold everything, packed up everything, and moved into one of the roundhouses in the ashram. I don't remember how long she was there. It wasn't a great deal of time, maybe a couple of years. I'm not sure. Beverly and I, by the way, we met in Joy's room in the ashram in 1991. And so I love seeing her here with us this weekend. But anyway, at some point, Swami told her to get out. Get out of here. Well, it's like, you know, a lot of devotees get very upset with that. Like, well, what did she do? Or what's happening here? How can Swami tell her to get out of here? He told her to come here, and now he's kicking her out of the ashram. What's going on? Well, she called me when she came back from India from that episode and explained to me what was the intent behind all of this. And the intent was that she had become so fixated on the form that she was not experiencing the fullness of what Baba has to give all of us, which is his installed presence in our heart. And when we're so fixated on the outer, we lose that connection with what it is he is here to give us, which is the inner living experience of the Lord God of the universe itself. So when she came back from this trip, and Joy would be so beautifully dramatic in all of her sharings, at least with me, and so she's on the other end of the phone, and she's saying to me, she was just bereft when he kicked her out of the ashram and told her to go home. And so she couldn't, she was having a hard time getting over it. The grief was just overwhelming. And so one night, Swami appeared in her room, tangibly, visibly, physically. And she's crying, oh, Swami, do you love me? Do you love me, Swami? I can just see her. And Baba answers, quote unquote, I have never forgotten this sharing that she gave to me. Swami says, it doesn't matter whether I love you. What matters is if you love yourself. I am in you. You are in me. We are one. And so, as a result of that and Joy coming back to the U.S., she wrote her sixth and final book, which was The Journey of the Self, From the Self to the Self. And of course, that's what Baba is teaching us all the time, is that we're running around, you know, in life looking for love in all the wrong places, and he's sitting right in our midst all the time. His will for our lives is for us to acknowledge and embrace the fact that he is omnipresence. Remember I told you the story, Prove Your Omnipresence? He's closer than our own breath. So I want to tell you a story. I told you that I met Joy at a clinic in Southern California in 1988, and she had VCRs with her, and so I saw all these amazing movies of Baba and sharings, and, you know, it was just, oh, wow-wee. Well, I had been ill for a few years after my husband passed and was not feeling well. Went back to Northern California after meeting Joy, and Joy went on her way, and we just had a beautiful connection, and while I was there, I did a lot of music for the people that were in this clinic. And I was still ill a year later. It was passing very slowly. And one night, well, I had been in bed for a number of days on and off, and I was just, you know, worn out by this experience that I was having. And in such a state of, you know how it is when you're being so challenged at some point in your life, and that the gift of that challenge is complete surrender and complete faith, that in that surrender, in some way, somehow, some moment, sometime, he will step into the experience. And so sometimes it's like, not too sure if he's going to step into the experience. But my own faith has taught me, and then, that somehow this too shall pass. So that night, and this was the beginning of many inner experiences that were beyond anything I had ever had come upon me in this lifetime. So here's how it went. I can see it right this minute. In the middle of the night, this huge light entered into my awareness. And I literally watched myself being pulled up out of the body and being drawn towards this light. And I started yelling towards the light because I absolutely knew what it was. I knew, if in very maybe elementary language, it was the Father of the universe. It was the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It was that Christ's presence. It was it. And I could see myself in the bed. I could see the body. And as it was pulling me toward us, I was yelling, "Father, take me. Take me." All I wanted was to merge with this light. And this light was so huge. And the power of this light that I was shaking so hard because it was so powerful. And it was like the next day or in that moment in Scripture, it says, stand in fear of the Lord. And I used to always not like that way of saying it because I had come from that kind of a Catholic upbringing. Stand in fear of the Lord. You know, it was like, I'm doing something wrong, that kind of thing. But I understood for the first time, it means awe. It's so awesome. It's so huge that you stand in fear of the power of it. If you get what I'm saying, I don't know if I'm explaining it very well. Well, anyway, the next morning, that experience was just right in the forefront of my awareness. And this was not a dream. This was something else. And it was like, on top of that, before the light became the intensity and the enormity, was it started coming in little blinks. And I started seeing, it looked like a swastika. But it was in the other way. It was backwards. Well, it's like, what is that doing in this thing? Well, as years went on and I went to India for my first time, I saw that symbol that's part of the Eastern explanation of God. Well, you all can probably explain it better than I. And it was like, when I saw that in India, it was like, oh my God, that symbol was this symbol that appeared, and then this huge eruption of light. So I'm getting to the thing that happens. So the next morning, I'm still in bed, and I go to the door. Maybe somebody knocked at the door, I can't remember. And at the foot of the door is a book, the very next morning. And I open this book, and here's this book, Life is a Game, Play It, by Joy Thomas. Oh my God, Joy Thomas, who I met a year before down in Southern California. And so I open the book like this. You know how we do, we don't start at the beginning, and you know. And this is what I was led to. The top of the page, somewhere, I come to you as a light. Oh boy. So I started reading this book. 2 days later, I'm laying not right on the verge of waking, and I hear a voice, and it's singing, there is only one, there is only one, there is only one. It kept singing. See, I'd never heard this voice in my life. It was like, I go to the book that day, and in the left side, down at the bottom, it says, when you have surrendered totally to me, I will sing you a song. So I called Joy Thomas, and she says, oh, I have been praying to Baba that you would get in contact with me. omnipresence. So I have a poem here that Joy wrote about our topic this morning, which is loving and serving. In my youth, I prayed for houses with broad lawns, swimming pools, fancy cars, fame, security, and knowledge inviolable by all. As I matured, I asked for peace and joy and the privilege of helping others in their search for truth. Today, I have but one petition, Lord. Teach me to love. Indeed, it is my greatest and my only need. Not that love which I once deemed most fair, that love that sees a sufferer and longs to teach them to walk my own tried path. Now I ask for wider vision and the gift to know that your grace is love beyond compare. That suffering is only a word we use to describe the tug of war between your will and ours. Oh, teach me, O precious one, to love you with such unadulterated faith that all temptation to help you do your work is washed away. Teach me the love that neither likes nor dislikes anything in all your universe. That love which feels no pride nor shame, which does not waver when assailed by praise or blame. That love, which though receiving no appreciation nor cooperation, still humbly serves. The love which casts out fear and asks for nothing, knowing that you are here. O God, free me from all desire save one. Teach me to love. So I want to teach us this song, Love All, Serve All. After 1991, when I was there for my first and honeymoon experience with our dear beloved Satya Sai Baba, I was asked by devotees, Australian devotees, to come down to Australia and to bring the music and to guide some retreats for them and to do some teaching. And so with just great humble gratitude and excitement, I went down and spent a month in Australia and was hosted in devotees' homes and singing and sharing and being with just and being taught by beautiful Sai family. It was just really an extraordinary experience. But what happened was one morning I was in Murwillumbah, Australia, I think that's how they say it, and I was walking along and it was one of those gorgeous, crispy, I guess it was their fall. And I was walking across this bridge and everything was so clean and clear. It was kind of like the U.S. in the 50s. You know, no trash. The kids going to school were wearing uniforms. People were being polite to each other. You know, it was just a delicious moment. And all of a sudden, this is what I heard. Love all, serve all. Listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all. Be willing to see the one in your fellow. Sing that together. Love all, serve all, listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all, be willing to see the one in your fellow man. Here we go. Every day we are asked to see the truth of life in all reality, to know right now that free. That's the way of the Lord.
Life is filled with abundant surprise, just waiting for us to recognize. That's the way of the Lord. Loving, love, serving, serve all. Listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all. Be willing to see the one in your fellow man. The light of Zion to everything, to let Him be the song we sing. That's the way of the Lord, loving, love all, serving, serve all. Listen to the call of the Lord, love all, serve all. Be willing to see the one, willing to see the one, be willing. In your fellow man, be willing to see the one in your fellow man.
Thank you. In 2004, I think I told you that I had an operation, and then brought up a lot of fear, a lot of question. You know, I took myself on a meditation out of the body so I could experience what do I know, if it's time for me to fly on to the next part of this eternal journey, so be it. And my precious little dear beloved Krishna doggy just followed right along, and I was really grief-stricken. So I get the call to come to India. It was the second time I had gone by myself, and I was absolutely told, you must go, and you must go alone. So my two Sai sisters from our center took me to the airport. Oh, they were so excited. You know, they were like little puppies and their tails are wagging, and oh, they're behind the security thing. And I'm going, oh. And I hear John Wayne inside of me. John Wayne, if you all don't know of him, you know, he was an actor for many, many years, a cowboy and a tough guy. And I could hear him say, all right, pilgrim, pick up your bag and get up that hill. And so she did, got on that airplane, went through Singapore, got to Prashanti, and just was really having quite a time with her. And this that I do not understand with my human mind, but my heart somehow just totally, I don't even have any words for this relationship, this love affair with Sai, and how he takes care of each of us in this tailor-made way. So this one morning, I was as dizzy as you could be. I was like a top that was spinning, and I was going down the side roads in Prashanti going like this, you know? And it's like, oh, goodness gracious. So one morning, I'm in front of my puja in my room, and a voice speaks. My light never dims. My light never dims. So I go to darshan that morning, and I'm given this God view. I don't know how to talk about it any other way. There's Swami in his little chair, but I see him. And it's like, my light never dims. It's like I could see that, as in scripture, when Jesus would see the blind man, he would see beyond the blind man, and he'd tell the blind man, or he'd tell the one who was broken and who was in the bed, he'd say, "What did hinder you? Get up." He would see the surface, but he knew the truth. The God alone exists in all of its perfection. And that morning, there was like that one moment of absolutely not one doubt, no doubt, that only the perfection of this holy Creator was all that was existing. Don't be fooled by appearances. Do not be fooled by appearances. So I want to sing this song because as a result of it, the latest album that came out, if you have the copy of it, Swami's hands are on the front of the album. And the album is called My Light Never Dims. Because of that experience, I was given the words of him telling us the truth of being. My love.